Morning. If this is your first Sunday here, or first Sunday here in a while, we've been in the middle of a series called Quitters Win. We started this series by asking the question to God, where are we? Where am I with you? In this season of Lent, we're asking these questions of where are we together? What is it that I've already been called to surrender? And what is it that I need to seek to leave behind so I can have a more present relationship with Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? We talked about first, again, what it would look like to surrender. What is it that we need to leave behind? And then we talked about fear and anxiety. We talked about its power over us and how we've seen, you know, throughout the scriptures that Jesus is constantly calling us, leave behind fear, leave behind. We talked, of course, about 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. And then again, last week, we revisited Peter's journey with Jesus and how Jesus had come to him and told him, you know, you are my rock, and on this church, you know, on this rock, I'll build my church. But then in the same stream, he also is the one that denied Jesus and the regret in choosing to, again, leave that behind. Leave that in the rear, leave behind regrets, and choose to see where Jesus is taking us. I invited you then, and I invited you now to open your hearts and soften your hearts to what the Lord might want to do in and through you and challenge you with today. Because God's mercies are new every single day. And he has some things to say. So, how's it going? We've been in this series. Maybe this is your first time here in this series. What is it that God's talking to you about? Have you chosen to surrender and found yourself, again, picking it up, whatever it might be for you? I would like to challenge you this morning with this verse from Matthew 11, 28 through 29 from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As the Savior of our souls, and the one who lived on this earth as a human being, he knows that we carry burdens. He knows that we carry these yokes of whether it be work, responsibility, financial pressures, and your mind can take you to what that might be for you. But unlike the yokes and the burdens and distractions of life, he calls us to a different path. He calls us to take his yoke, and we'll find rest for our souls. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you let yourself rest? When was the last time that you gave your body, whether physical, mental, emotional, a chance to have a break? From the very beginning of creation, we see that it was a value of God. Rest is a necessity for all of us. As God created the earth, we know and we can read in scripture that he worked and toiled for 6 days creating the earth. The earth. And yet on day seven, God the Father, he got to this point. Read with me here. Genesis 2. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day he rested from all his work of creation. The God of the universe, after creating the earth, took a break. He worked hard and he toiled, but on this one day, he took a break. Later, when God was setting up guidelines for the Israelites' people, we find that it was so important to him as God the Father, but it was also important for his people to take a break. When we look at this verse in Exodus, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week to do your ordinary work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day." of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household must do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and called it holy. God, the Creator, rested, and he wanted his people to understand the importance of rest. When they journeyed, we see later on in Exodus that when they were journeying throughout the desert, God provided manna for them for food. He provided for them. And yet, he provided just enough every day for them to have exactly enough. But on the day before the Sabbath, he provided double. They wouldn't have to go out on the Sabbath because he was going to provide for them. Rest was so important to him. But over time, just as humanity tends to do, they took this gift from God, this gift of rest, and made it something, a legal measuring stick, a religious rite. If you do this, oh no, you can't do that. No, not that. Maybe that. Yep, okay. Made it this rules rather than simply a time to be present with your family, with your community, and just rest. So I ask you, when was the last time you let yourself rest? Perhaps for you it's hard to rest. You have to stay busy. Your body and your mind just have to keep going. Keep busy. Keep in motion. Or maybe it's your work. Work consumes you. You have to keep going, always going to the next level to just keep moving. If you're not working, maybe you're thinking about work. Or you're always hustling to more, to prove more, to earn more. You're not alone. John Mark Comer is a pastor and a teacher in our times, and he wrote this book here. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It came out in 2019, ironically enough, right before 2020, and he did a lot of research on hurry and busyness and distraction. I would highly recommend you read it. In his research, he wrote this. Think about this in the course of time. Just do a quick flow with me here. In 1960, futurists thought with technology breakthroughs that they saw coming, we'd be working less and we'd have so much time on our hands we wouldn't know what to do with it. Our question is, where did all that time go? We spend it on other things, right? The average American works 4 more weeks per year than they did in 1979. Until 1960, and even as late as 1990, there were blue laws in place that required a forced Saturday Sabbath. However, in one generation, Sunday has gone from this day of rest and worship to just another day to get stuff done. American culture says busy and work is what makes you productive, what makes you a member of this culture and this society. But the way of Jesus is different. I've noticed, and maybe you have too, Americans have this common greeting, right? We say, hi, how's it going? And we just walk on. We don't even stay to hear the greeting. But if you do stay long enough, oftentimes we'll say, hey, how's it going? Oh, busy, busy. And it's a favorite. It almost feels like it's yeah, I'm busy. I got some places to do. I'm important kind of thing. It's said almost like a badge of honor. Busy is equated with good. So what is it that's keeping you busy? What is it that is distracting you? The reality is that there are very real distractions clamoring for our attention. And a lot of times they're in very innocent forms and ways. Comer again highlights in a study from 2013 that this study was done on Christians and their obstacles to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And 20,000 of them identified busyness as a major distraction from spiritual life. It may be the case that Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more and more marginalized in Christians' life, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, overload, and the cycle continues. This quote is from Ronald Rollheiser. He's a Catholic writer and lecturer. Today, a number of historical circumstances are blindly flowing together and accidentally conspiring to produce a climate within which it is difficult not just to think about God or even to pray, but simply to have any interior depth whatsoever. We, for every kind of reason, good or bad, are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. It's not that we have anything against God. Depth and spirit, we'd like these. It's just that we are habitually too preoccupied to have any of these show up in our lives. We're on our radar screens. We're more busy than bad, more distracted than non-spiritual, and more interested in the movie theater, the sports stadium, the shopping mall, and the fantasy life they produce in us than we are in church. Pathological busyness, distraction, restlessness, our major blocks today within our spiritual lives. Pathological busyness, distraction, and restlessness are major blocks within our spiritual lives. Just let that sit with you for a second. If you think back with me to your 2020 and even 2021, the struggle that many of us had when our lives were disrupted, in some ways just stopped, was that the life we knew was busyness and activity, and that's what we found ourselves longing for. Our pathological busyness became us, that's what we're missing in our lives. The sad truth, as Rollheiser points out to us many, is that many of us are too busy to follow Jesus. We're too busy to seek after the presence of God. We're too busy and distracted to seek first the kingdom of God and all that will be added. And instead, we seek first the kingdom of entertainment. We seek first the desire of ourselves. We seek first the approval of man. We seek first the success. We seek first to create a brand for ourselves. As I read and prepared for today, I read through Colossians. And I read particularly in the Message paraphrase. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection, life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. After reading these verses in Colossians, I'm convicted. And maybe you are too. It sounds like an adequate description of me. Sounds like an adequate description of our culture. We're so busy and attention distracted, looking down into whatever's happening on a screen, or so consumed with the thoughts in my head, whatever might be the distraction of the minute. Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, is calling any of us, disciples of Christ, to wake up, look up, be alert. He has something to show you. Are you looking for it? Are you tuned in to what the creator of your body and your savior, the savior of your soul, is saying to you? Are you able to hear his voice over the clamor of the noise? What is the solution to our busyness, distractions? Is it more time? It's or more hacks or more focus or more conviction? One answer. The solution is Jesus in his way of life. Jesus says in John, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But how do we live life to the full when we're constantly distracted? Things are asking for our attention. If we say that we're followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the one who gave his life for us, but we don't live the lifestyle of Jesus in this culture that's driving us toward busy, 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 busy distraction, how do we get there? So I have some questions for you to prompt your mind, maybe. When was the last time you're in the middle of a project, perhaps for work, and almost came to and realized you'd been deep diving from what you'd blocked out time to do on something else? When was the last time you found yourself leaning into an hour solid of cat videos, or car videos, or the most creative craft initiative that drives your attention? Or maybe for you it's the political battles going on in our world, or rumors of war. Or maybe it's a sports season that you're really following, or an online gaming world that you find your time so absorbed in. Or maybe for you it's closer to home. Maybe it's something happening in your neighborhood, or the injustice of a broken system in your workplace, or something happening in your family. When do you notice that you're the most distracted? When you have an important task in front of you that you don't exactly have the motivation to do? When you're tired, when you're hurting? Church, Jesus is constantly calling us to something more, much more. And distractions are silencing the voice of Jesus in ourselves. So, personal story. In the year 2020, I was deeply convicted by how distraction was ruling my time. Perhaps similar to you, I spent much of my time in the social networks, in the news, trying to figure out what was going on in the world. But with this came this need in social media, particularly to need to have a response, a knee-jerk answer to everything that I was seeing to correct and comment on. Those days I found myself with a deep frustration and anger spurned from mostly Facebook. And needing to correct people who were saying the wrong things. Distraction was really real. And my kids got the short end of that stick. And they got snapped at more than they needed to. I found that from my journey of being on Facebook, particularly, for 16 years, there had been this distraction, this something that had risen in me that I needed to have a response and I needed to share every part of my life. And I couldn't just see that a lot of these people I would never, ever have time to sit down and have coffee with. But yet I was feeling it in the need to drive to comment on. I was really convicted that my mind was more consumed with a smart aleck answer to a Facebook comment than it was what Jesus was telling me how to love my neighbor that lived next door. I was consumed with reading of comments and what was going on in the world rather than reading what God's word told me about who I was and how I could be present in this situation of frustration and fear in trying to figure out what's happening. As I was convicted of this, I began to understand that I needed a break. So I took a 3-month fast, I deactivated all my socials, and I parented myself. I took back my time. And you know what I found? I had a constant knee-jerk reaction that even though all those things were deactivated, I needed to share with everybody. Look at this beautiful gluten-free, dairy-free dessert I'm having and this coffee and this person I'm having with it, rather than just being present with whoever I was with. Or I could go to the park and I could go for a walk and I could talk to Jesus and I didn't need to share a picture of it to prove that I was doing something. I could simply be present. That was over 3 years ago. And let me tell you, I've deactivated and deleted a lot of those things, but that's still my reaction. I need to share what all I'm doing. Who cares? Perhaps that you can relate to this, and you would like to tell me, hey, Gina, you're meddling a little bit. So over the course of the years, since we have had phones, cell phones, smartphones, particularly the iPhone, it has increasingly had a larger presence in our lives. We all know that. It's not only a physical presence, but it's a mental, psychologically, and emotional. A study was done, and the research found that people tapped, swiped, clicked a whopping 2,617 times a day their phone. That was just the average. For the heaviest users, it went more to 5,400 touches a day. Per year, that's nearly 1 million touches on average to your phone, and 200 million for the less restrained among us. Your attention is for sale, and many of us easily fall into whatever the distraction of the moment is, whatever it might be. If only there was something that could help stop us and remember God wanting us to be alert to Him. Reminding ourselves that we don't have to hurry and be busy and be distracted. God's already given me everything I need. But how can we know peace in a world filled with chaos and busyness and distractions? They're everywhere. And again, Jesus calls to us from Matthew. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. As the Savior of our souls knows, we're human. We carry burdens. We carry yokes of work and yokes of responsibility and yokes of financial pressures. But unlike the distractions of life, He calls us to come to rest, to take His gentle yoke upon us. He's not saying that we won't carry yokes or heaviness, but He's calling us to a different way. So if you're hearing all this, I'd like to encourage you here in this chapter in Romans. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin to death. So as you hear these things I'm saying, maybe you've walked in here feeling like, I've missed the mark. I haven't measured up. Do not let the voice of shame, the enemy of your soul, condemn you. Jesus came to the earth so that we can know grace and forgiveness. He came giving us an example of how we ought to live. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Today is a new way, a new day. So lay the weights of this world down, busyness, distraction, frustration, heaviness, and come to Him and let Him give you rest. The reality is that the enemy always comes to us with distractions. Like an angel of light, but his goal is always the same: to take your eyes off of Jesus. We've often heard this phrase in this space from Corrie Ten Boom, that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And over time, it can be really detrimental to your spiritual health. So what grabs your attention and takes it away from Jesus? What distractions has the Lord revealed to you? Job, social media, technology, money, finances, success? What might it be for you? What do you need to say no to? What do you need to delete or restrict or remove from your life so that you can create space to seek the presence of God? And I want to challenge all of us. We have never arrived. Jesus is always calling us deeper. It doesn't matter how long or short you've walked with Jesus. He's always, always calling us to something more. What I'm encouraging you today toward is to begin to think about what distractions the enemy's playing you at. We all have distractions in our lives. What is the Spirit calling you to today? I would invite you to close your eyes, and I'm going to read the lyrics of a song as a prayer over us. Okay. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to reach out and I want to touch him and I want to say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. God, give me the eyes to see you and see the things that have taken my attention away from you. Help me to choose surrender and help me walk toward it.